Well, away from the arguments about how many refugees Australia is accepting and how they're coming here, once the refugees arrive, their ongoing healthcare is a major concern. Almost by definition, refugees are one of our most vulnerable population groups, dealing with multiple and complex health problems. Psychological trauma is common, resulting from exposure to violence, torture, deprivation, and prolonged poverty. To prevent future health problems developing, a team of internationally renowned researchers led by Monash University has been awarded a grant. It's called from the National Health and Medical Research Council, the NHMRC, to work out how best to deliver primary health care to refugees living in this country. The study is led by Grant Russell, Professor of General Practice Research at Monash University. Grant, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran. Thank you.
What are the leading health problems, the sorts of health problems that refugees suffer from as they resettle here in Australia that sort of might mark them out as a bit separate to the general population?
Well, I think that there's a cluster of problems. And they arise from trauma in their countries of origin and the difficulties of moving to a new nation, a new and unfamiliar nation. So mental health's a really big issue. Around about 10 times the risk of post-traumatic stress disorder, double the risk of depression, a lot of nutritional problems as well through low and poor nutrition and infections, pre-migration. Problems with mothers who are pregnant, the increased risk of stillbirth and of other complications of pregnancy. And then what's been found more and more is that long-term refugees or people of refugee background have got increased risk of the sort of chronic problems like diabetes and heart disease that those who were born and brought up in this country are increasingly suffering from.
Okay, so much of what you talked about there, though, the infections that arise from a life in sort of poverty without good nutrition, the mental health issues for the trauma, happen before people arrive here. What are the sort of health problems that occur because of associated with the difficulty of moving to another country and living in another country that you mentioned?
Yeah, and I think that's where trauma is. The past traumas are really come out in mm-hmm. the new country. You've gone through the challenges of settlement and then left to forge your own life.
Yeah.
And we've spoken to people who've been really overwhelmed by flashbacks of the past. Just difficulties in dealing with the here and now of living in a new country.
And so what happens with these people? If they are here and they're settled, as you say, and they're safe, and then they go into that state, the flashback state, the remembering, the isolation, what typically, if there is a typical, occurs there in terms of their need for health support, health care, and how do they access it or not get it?
Just thought it might be, just in understanding that, just quickly outline what normally happens to resettled refugees
sure.
in Australia.
Yeah.
So just to remember that refugees have got visas. They've got the same rights to health and social care as all other Australians do. And they're not the same as asylum seekers who are applying for asylum, who, by the way, have no rights to Medicare or other social services.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens with refugees, they're assessed offshore, and they have a health assessment before they enter the country. Then they meet with a settlement service, and this is a network of services, Commonwealth-funded, all through the country. And they're helped with just orientation to living in Australia. Accommodation, food, how life in Australia works, get a Medicare card, and then the settlement services take them along to some sort of a health service, and
mm-hmm.
it's generally a specialised service, and that's where they get a further health check and a little bit of care for a few months. Then often, naturally, they'll need to be transitioning out into the mainstream, so seeing mainstream primary care doctors, mm-hmm. GPs, and then care sort of care's taken over by general practice. But it's a system that we've been doing a lot of work with partner organisations. It's a system under quite a bit of strain.
The GP system?
I think it's the whole system.
So, I mean, that's part of the issue, isn't it? Because one of the things is that I understand a lot of times when those people have come here as refugees, some of their first contacts are emergency contacts. because
Correct.
A, they don't know where else to go, and B, it's extreme and it might come on suddenly, and therefore they end up in our emergency departments of our hospitals. Later on, as you've described it, they end up in the primary healthcare system with GPs. Is part of your research or your work working with those doctors and nurses and other healthcare professionals at those frontline places to help them recognise and understand that there are different issues that people might be presenting with if their experience is as refugees?
Yeah, that's what it's about. So there's sort of two big parts. One, in the specialised services, we're hoping to help them transition people out of the services. You can imagine if you've been looked after by a specialist service, specially interested and skilled in the needs of refugees, and then the refugees being asked to move on into general practice, that in itself can be a bit confronting. So we're helping services, we're going to be aiming to help services go through that transition period with their clients easier. And then on the other half of the project, we're going to be trying to help the GPs deal with some of the sort of specific needs. And they're complex, but there's not that many major changes that need to be done to, I think, what's already a system that's trying really hard to work to meet the needs. One of the big issues is around translation.
Yes.
Yep. About 90% of our refugee populations have poor or no English. And that means that healthcare is best done when the provider and the patient can understand each other.
So how do we do that? Give every GP's clinic access to translation? Do we do that with Google Translator, or do we have to do something?
No, that's something we've already got access to. And the government runs a telephone interpreter service that all GPs have got access to.
And is it adequate? Is it adequately resourced? And do GPs know about it and know how to use it?
And I think it's the latter part, that it's not as visible as it could be, and it's not utilised as much as it could be. So one of the big outcomes of our project is trying to increase the use of those telephone and other interpreter services.
Just finally, Grant, there is a group that I understand is particularly vulnerable. It's those who come here on family reunion visas. Mm. Why is this a particularly vulnerable subset of refugees?
That's a great question, Fran. And the problem with this group is that there is a real chance that they can not necessarily go through the normal settlement service, such that they can end up in the country and essentially their first port of call will be general practice or the emergency department. So they don't tend to be as likely to go through the filter of some of these refugee specialised services, and it's a network of services right through the country. So it's this group that's becoming a real issue. Wonderful that people can have family reunions, but it's raising some other challenges for the healthcare service.
All right, Grant Russell, it sounds like an important project. Sounds like a difficult mission, really, and you just got to feel for all those people arriving here, I suppose, with all those problems and hitting a system that really doesn't quite know, it would seem, what to do with them, not through ill intent, but just through trying to know. So perhaps you can help with that. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Fran.
Grant Russell is Professor of General Practice Research at Monash University.